This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
From Hollywood, California, the horror capital of the world, the Boulay Brothers, Creatures of the Night.
Dumbala, give us another episode of Creatures of the Night, I beg of you.
Welcome everyone to Creatures of the Night postmortem for episode 2 of season 5 of the Boulay Brothers Dracula.
Yes. And before we approach and tackle episode 2, let's just talk about the response to episode 1, because I think this year, more than any other season, it has been so overwhelmingly positive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just the cast and the challenges and the looks, mama, the looks.
Yes.
People were like really freaking out, like tons of accolades.
There is a magic in the air about season 5. There's something that you can just feel. It's really electric. Everyone's loving the cast. They're just magnetic on screen. The viewership went through the roof. It's incredibly successful already. Actually, we'll have a special announcement that ties directly into that, but we're going to save that for next week.
Very, very soon.
Yeah, it's exciting. Thank you, everyone at home, for watching and engaging. We're so thrilled that everyone is as happy with the cast as we are and the new format and all the changes and everything. So thank you for watching. And I can promise you this, it only goes up from here.
The episodes just get better.
They do.
And that's not us trying to sell like snake oil. It really does. They really do get better.
They
consistently, one after the next. It just keeps upping the ante. Mm-hmm. And there's so much interaction and support on social media, which I'm really grateful for. Our fans are so activated and supportive, which I love. And it just feels really good. But one of my favorite comments kind of went like, damn. The Boulay Brothers and Dracula really know how to hype everything up and really get me like so anxious to watch. And then it delivered in spades, which I'm like, yes,
that feels good.
The best.
Yeah, definitely. I'm happy. We worked very hard on it. So I'm glad that it turned out the way it did. The cast worked very hard. They deserve all the accolades that they're getting. So I'm excited. Before we dive into the episode, we should talk a little bit about the last time we left off on the podcast, which we were leaving to go film Good Morning America in New York on Halloween morning, which we did.
Yes.
Which was crazy to be back in New York for Halloween, because I don't know if people know, but we used to live there. And Halloween in New York is fun. It's a lot of fun. It's very crazy. There's a dangerous energy in the air on Halloween, I think.
There is danger in the air, mm-hmm. for sure.
It's the parade. It's the masses of people, yeah. and all the bridge and tunnel people that come over.
And being on the subway with a bunch of people in masks and costumes, like just concealed their identity,
yeah.
it feels like... Is this like Gotham City?
Yeah.
Something, there's a crime about to happen. Yeah. Am I going to be a victim?
And some crimes probably did happen.
I'm sure they did. I wish we kind of stayed one extra day, because it ended up being where Drac and I flew out on Halloween. So we filmed, and then later that night we flew back to Los Angeles. And this is like one of those surreal days where you wake up in New York, you get into full drag, you film at Good Morning America, you de-drag, go to the airport, and then you're flying on mm-hmm. your Delta One broom back to Los Angeles on Halloween. It was so surreal.
Well, also, don't forget when we were in our Delta One lounge waiting for our flight, I saw the tarmac on fire.
Yes.
Right?
That's on our social, too. I was like, what the fuck is that? It's like open flame, like way out on the tarmac. Yeah, it's crazy.
I zoomed in on it. It was pretty fun. But our flight didn't get delayed. So, yeah. So Good Morning America. If you didn't catch us, we were all on their social media on Halloween. But we were originally supposed to judge a costume contest and they canceled the costume contest. But it actually ended up working out good because we're doing a whole interview segment with them, which is going to be on Good Morning America on November 11th.
Yeah. Well, the turn of events, because we got that. Oops, I said it.
You
Ooh.
Said it. You said the Oh,
I need to be penalized. Now I have to do a shot. Whoop. No, that's a new game. And we get all slow by the end of the episode. okay, so let me restate that. I think one of my favorite parts about the GMA experience was it was cool to be in the ABC studios. It was cool to see a studio in New York as opposed to Los Angeles, which I'm so used to, and New York we used to live in. To go there and then just to film it all. And then it was so natural. The interviewer was so great. I felt like it was easy. And Drac and I were really kind of like comfortable throughout the whole interview. And then at the very end, they were like, oh, okay, before you go, let's get this piece for, you know, the little teaser that when they have guests on, they show like before commercial or something. And they asked me and Drac to be like super uber chipper and say, Good Morning America. And it was like, it was so cringy and horrible. Like we had to do it like 5 times. And by the fifth time I was like, okay, cut. Please tell us what to do. Like, give us some examples because we're not morning people. Like, we are night creatures. Yeah. Like, we need some help here.
It felt very like Wednesday Addams, right? And the Addams yeah. Family Values at Camp Chickawa or whatever it was. Yeah. Where I was like, forced smile. That's what I felt like. I was like, I must look like an insane person.
Totally.
But it was fun. We had a good time. The interviewer was great. It was fun to be in their studios. And hopefully we make it an annual thing where we go and we welcome in Halloween for everybody on Halloween morning on Good Morning America. And then we can end it on The Late Show while we're in town.
Woo. And also swing by Andy Cohen's to be on Watch What Happens Live.
That's what we Ooh. Needed to do.
On that note, we're going to take a quick break and we will be right back.
All right, we are back, my trash can children, and joining us once again after missing an action is Ian.
Ooh, greetings, the queens of darkness. I can't say hi. I don't say hi or hello anymore, so greetings. You know what I mean? Greetings.
Salutations.
Exactly. Yeah. Hi, how are you both?
We're good. How are you? Yeah.
I am amazing, but I missed y'all. I missed the podcast. I was listening to the latest episode and I was just banging on the bars of my cage like, oh, I wish I was there. This episode is so good. I love episode 1 of season 5 of the Blair Brothers Dracula, and to not be here for the first postmortem, crushing blow.
A favorite highlight must have been when Drac was like, okay, Ian's not here this time, so just insert some yes! mamas and some hunchbacks and whatever.
Some yes gods, yeah. Some locker room. I screenshotted the time code where I was at and I texted Drac and Swat. I was like, you bitches. Mama.
So is there anything that we didn't cover? Because you might have different experience than us. Is there anything that we missed that you think that was kind of fun BTS stuff?
Honestly, I feel like you guys really nailed it. You covered it all. You mentioned it all. It was a really cool way to sort of like peek behind the mortuary curtain and see kind of like actually what happens. Because y'all were so involved. Not that you're not involved in the other seasons, but I mean, you really had your claws just dug into the body of season 5. You know, tens, tens, tens all across the board, mama.
It was fun. I mean, I did remember one thing. When we were walking back from the extermination, after we let everybody down, do you remember we got lost? We got separated from the group?
Oh, yeah, that was one thing. Oh, I was like, these bitches were like, it was Drac and Swan and Satana and this. And I was like, what about me? Where was I? But that was really crazy because we had these little snacks who were leading us back to our cars. And then they were just like sprinting ahead. And we were like, girl, it is pitch black. Like literally not a single light in the sky. And I'm like, well, I guess we're going to die.
It was getting cold too. And it felt like you could easily get lost in those mountains.
Well, our party was stretched back for like half a mile because there were so many of us. But also, We were in the front. The guides were in front of us with the light. So if we lost them, we would have no way where to go. And then none of you could follow us. But then somehow you got in front of us. And then me and Ian were like off on a path. And I was like, are we just going deeper? Or are we actually headed to the car? So, but we found our way.
We got it. I mean, here's the real behind the scenes. We are actually recording this episode from that mountain. We never left. The entire rest of the season was filmed telepathically.
Wow.
God, that was fun. I had a lot of fun. And I'm glad that we did that on episode one. Mm-hmm. We got outside. Because that's one of the things I love about Dragula is being able to take the artist outside and to go on little adventures.
Drag
stuff,
so. In the wild. Drag literally in the wild. This episode. Yeah. But we're exiting episode one and now going toward episode two, introducing Trash Can Children.
Trash Can Children.
And why Trash Can Children? Which is obviously a parody on Garbage Pail Kids. But we
what? Oh my, wait, huh?
Catch up.
I'm sorry.
Catch up, sweetie. This is in response to the fans. Like, so many fans were like, where's the filth?
Oh, mama, there's no filth. Where's the filth? The drag filth are in glamour.
Like, I do think that it's maybe appropriate to be back for filth, my favorite tenet of Dragula. Mm-hmm. I'm like, that feels good in my little locker room.
Well, we wanted to put a filth forward floor show right at the beginning of the season just to kind of represent. And we do like to make fun of the fans, and we say it in a badgering kind of fun way, but it doesn't mean we don't love you.
You guys get to pick at us online all day, every day. So you can handle a little bit that.
Yes, teasing and torment is our love language.
Truly. Well,
so the one thing I do want to say to fans about filth is this. We give the challenges, right? We issue the challenges every episode. But it's up to the competitors to incorporate the tenets of Dragula into those challenges. We are suggesting them this time because there was such a demand for filth or things that are missing. We're like, this is a filth-focused challenge. But really what they should be doing is figuring out how to incorporate those tenets into all of their looks.
Sure.
So it's not up to us to make them filthy. If you didn't see enough filth on season four, you should be inboxing the competitors. Go ahead, do it. Do it now. Go back in time and do it.
Your favorite competitor.
It's their fault. It's not up to us. It's true.
I want to hear from Saint. I want to hear from Sigourney.
Yeah, Sigourney. Bitch them out. Why didn't you do filth?
You know why there wasn't enough filth in season four? It's Sigourney's fault.
Ask Sigourney.
Absolutely.
And then you know what? Hope for the best.
So let's get back into the laboratory. So we see, you know, where the monsters are.
The
laboratory.
Monsters.
And we have all of our survivors, and they're kind of like talking about, well, who do you think went home? And such a gaggy moment when they voted, and every single person voted for JK.
That's something I find interesting, because JK goes home first. Mm-hmm. And I noticed the fans over a couple of days went from like, yeah, JK sucks, you can go home. Uh-huh. And then they're like, I don't know, actually. I don't know that this person's look was better. I think, actually, JK, it starts building up.
Well, the thing that I...
They just like to be contrary.
Yeah,
period.
Period. The thing that I love about those comments, truly, is that it's always, I actually think that JK's look wasn't that bad, or they should have gone home. No one ever has the courage to say who they actually think
That's what
have
I want to know.
Home. I'm like, okay, so fine. That like, fair. You don't think JK should go home? Then who? You pick.
Exactly. That's what I said to Swan. I was like, okay, well, if you don't think it was JK, then say who or don't say it.
Because
you
have
to pick somebody. You have to pick somebody. So who would it have been? And that's what I'd love to know.
Silence.
it's not often where everyone votes the same exact
that
way.
Is true. So
I think it's a little crushing too, but I think all in all, the competitors agreed with the judgment that the look was just not up to snuff compared to everybody else.
Yeah. I want to say something about that. I mean, I love that the nature of the show is a competition because it gets fans involved. And, you know, sometimes people are just like if you watch a show and everyone's like, I love this person. There are some people that just automatically want to say, well, I like that person. You know, that's the whole idea of competition shows and how everybody excited. So I love that they get passionate and they want to agree and disagree. I mean, it is subjective, right? There's probably people that think each one of those competitors should have won and each one of them should have lost. So it's interesting.
And as annoying as I believe it is, all fans are entitled to their opinion.
Of course.
True.
So we get the challenge. It's trash can children. I think everyone's super excited. And we let them know that they have to guzzle these trash juice smoothies, complete with Jersey Turnpike water, yes! which was my favorite comment from Jarvis.
Oh, I remember one of my favorite sort of BTS-y moments of this is we were planning, okay, how are we going to do this? We need the steins, we need this, we need the ingredients. And then Swan turns to me and goes, Ian, do you want to do the honors of collecting that? I was like, yes, I do. I would love to get the ingredients for these smoothies. Thank you.
You know, that's the thing that I don't think people at home know because they, you know, they weren't there. So how would they know? The smell. It's the smell on those challenges. And the fact that kind of for that episode's filming days, the set reeks like that for the rest of the time.
Oh my God. For even, I remember episodes later, we would get random phantom whiffs of this
one. Totally. Of that pig head. And I think I saw a comment from Titans where someone was like, I don't think it was real. It looked kind of this or that.
Oh, it was
that
real.
Was a butchered pig head, and the room just smelled rank for weeks.
Stank of blood.
It really did. The Titans had that smell, I think, kind of to the end, didn't it?
Even into the post.
Of the, yeah. So obviously the smell was not pleasant at all.
And the steins go down 1 through 10 for the remaining competitors, and then the 11th one slams down. Ooh. And in walks JK to everyone's gaggery,
and all of a sudden everyone's like, he should have went home first.
I will say I live for Satana's reaction. I mean, she was gagged, pissed, upset, nauseous. I just, like, I remember looking in her face like, oh, you're mad, mad.
She wanted to kill.
You know, I said it in the last podcast. I hate sending someone home first. I hate it. I hate it. I hate it.
It's rough.
And there's no way to me that Satana, there's no way that one of them, that should have been the end of their journey. Mm-hmm. I just am like, that's not, it can't, because here's why. I hiked through the woods with them. They jumped off a bridge, and I'm like, there's no way I'm going to punish someone after doing that.
After they both jumped, I was like, we're not doing this. Uh-uh. We're not doing this. So whatever it looks like, it's another stunt. You know, it wasn't pre-planned, which is like, nope, we have to adjust because they both earned their spots here for the second episode, period.
I'm going to spill.
Period.
I'm going to spill probably the biggest cup of tea.
Spill the stein.
Okay. So.
Spill your Jersey Turnpike water, mama.
There was a 12th contestant cast on the Boulay Brothers Dragula season 5. There was. And they quit before
they got here.
Before they got here.
Like, we had our first casualty before the cameras even started rolling.
Yeah. And it was the first time in the history of the show that that has ever happened. And so it sort of did mess with the system, right? Because it enabled us to be able to keep someone, so we knew we did have that in our pocket. If we needed to, we could save someone. But of course, we used it on episode 1,
which y'all love to do. You I blame you two specifically.
Oh my
because
God.
In previous seasons too, it's like I show up, I'm ready for business. I have like my boss wig on, and I'm like, we need to kill someone tonight. And like, well, what if we used our save tonight? I'm like, it's episode 1. Oh, we might need this later.
Moments where I desperately wish that this was being recorded on video, because Swan's face during that is so funny. And you're right, it really is. It's the nicey cutie train of Drac and me being like, well.
Oh, remember Formelda? Ian was like, we can't send Formelda home.
Oh, no. I'm sorry. I have to defend my honor here in the Nicey Cutie Junior Mints movie club. I did defend Formelda's honor in the edit, but
she needed
to go home for that. Love you, Formelda.
Well, listen, I want to jump us forward to this iconic moment. Curse of the Teletubby.
Yes.
Toilet bowl.
Toilet bowl.
Toilet bowl.
Hey, what do you look like, a moon?
That
a moon
was amazing.
With a toilet? Sit down. I'm going to flush you.
And this is why I love us so much, because we're not scared. We don't shy away from doing like the real dumb stuff.
Yeah.
Like,
I knew that
it's
half,
so fun.
Half the viewers would be like, what are they doing? But I was like, it doesn't matter, because someone's going to get locked in a toilet, and everybody can appreciate that, right?
Absolutely.
For those that don't know, this is a direct reference to an iconic line from Kendra Onyx, as stated in one of the episodes of Titans, the Titans season. So
episode 1. She came out swinging, right?
Yeah, right out the gate. I don't know if this is jumping the gun a little bit, but I will say that I was surprised at how luxe the porta potty was. I thought it was going to be, I mean, I have done some foul things in some porta potties in my day, and I was expecting smaller, worse. I was like, Cynthia got off real easy.
Some of them are roomy. Yeah. She didn't quite have like the studio apartment. She had like the one bedroom, one bath version.
She didn't have the full like... handicap one that's like the size of the jumbo apartment.
Yeah.
So I thought JK was for sure going to pick BlackBerry. Like I thought that was absolutely coming. And even when she said the lavatorium curse, like BlackBerry was right behind Cynthia, like kind of on the same side. So I'm like, was it BlackBerry? But then Cynthia just freaks out and ends up doing it. And
you want to know why?
What great comedy gold that turned into.
You want to know why I thought it was going to be BlackBerry? Because he said it was going to be BlackBerry.
Spill it!
He said it. Behind the wall, behind the set, I'm going to do that to BlackBerry. I'm going to do that to BlackBerry.
He said it with conviction, too.
Yeah. So what happened?
But
I'd love to know.
I think JK is a creature of just like, as something happens, he reacts.
Yeah.
Just completely reactionary. So he turned the corner and Cynthia turned up and it was like, nope, I'm getting you, bitch. And
yeah,
like,
I wonder why.
I'm like, that's cute, but don't ever do that again because we have a camera set for BlackBerry.
Wouldn't you use it against someone that, you know, you thought maybe like Neo maybe, right? Because you're like, well, Neo won the first episode, so I'm going to use it against them.
I guess. I don't know, though. I think that there are 100 different ways to play the game. And I think that if you were thinking purely strategy, sure, you know, knock one of the, at this point, hi, we're.
Drink, shots.
At this point, we're two episodes in. But if there was a front runner, hi, Neo. God damn it.
She's getting drunk.
Neo won episode one. So maybe make her do it. But instead, Cynthia turns up. It's fingers pointed. And suddenly it's, you know what? Actually, fuck you, bitch.
Petty. And everybody knows.
Petty. We love petty.
It's petty. It's not petty. Petty, but it is petty. Oh. And everybody love when people go petty on a reality show.
Yes,
I mean,
true.
That is the best.
Well, speaking of petty, Fantasia and Throb kind of spice up a little bit in this episode.
Yeah, they did have
each other.
Even episode one, too, a little bit.
Yeah, like, it started episode one, and then episode two, I think it got a little more. So let's keep our eye on that.
Yeah, I wonder. Let's talk about the floor show, and let's talk about my favorite hair of the season.
Oh, you want to talk about our look?
I want to talk about our look.
Yes. Oh, yes, I want to talk about it too.
Before them come us, and when we reveal this look, oh my God. So, when I saw it, I myself was gagged at my own.
I love this look because this hair is something I've wanted to do for a long time, but it's not an easy hairstyle to create. And this hair is inspired by X-Men comics from like the late 80s. Mm-hmm. For some reason, this hairstyle, and it's ridiculous and could never work in real life. Everyone in the X-Men had this hair from it. Like it started with like Polaris had like that big hair. Then it was like Wolfsbane had that hair.
Feral had that hair. Melandra. And then Wolverine had big drag hair.
I was like... You have a drag queen wig
she
on,
got
sir.
Big drag queen wig and big drag queen thighs, honey. Mm-hmm.
And then Rogue had it for a minute too, and they just put a headband. It was just crazy, but I always loved it because it was so draggy, you know. And I was like, we just need to like get this hair. It makes no sense. I don't care.
It's so glam. It's so vamp and extraterrestrial. Like I love it.
Yeah, I do too. It's probably my favorite hair of the season.
Me too. Without question.
If you're gonna talk about the hair, I feel like you also have to talk about the nail treatment. My God. I mean, literal weapons. They were blades. Yeah. It was so cool.
They're heavy too. I love those, but they are not practical.
A deadly combo.
Yeah.
I was actually really impressed and shocked how much handography you were able to do during the dynamic. Because I remember when you showed me that, I was like, girl, these things are... Like,
you literally take your own eye.
Oh, they're not coming off, though. They're not coming off, because they were hard to get off, actually, afterward. Because I was like, I don't want this to fly off in the middle of judgment. I am sealing these things in my hand.
Loctite.
Oh, it hurt getting them off, I'll tell you that.
So let's talk about how gagged everyone was to see Matthew Lillard on the judge's block.
When you think of drag, you think of Matt Lillard. Yeah, so a little behind the scenes there. We know Matt from like personal life, not from drag. And so we met him a bunch of times out of drag. And then he worked with us on Halfway to Halloween, but we were directing out of drag. So he, You know, that's he's seen us out of drag. He's never seen us in drag before.
Pretty much the opposite of almost everybody else that walks the earth.
Right.
When he saw us in drag on set, I mean, he didn't know it was us. His wig was disintegrated.
Yeah.
It truly was. He was like, oh my God, you look incredible. Like, I would have never recognized you. Which is usually the reaction people get when they see us out of drag for the first time.
Right.
You look incredible. I never would have recognized you.
I was so happy that he came on because I thought it was like the perfect challenge for him. You know? It makes like total sense. He had great expertise on the subject of filth and just that sort of 80s vibe, you know?
He really knew what's up. Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, we had Landon back. That was fantastic.
Yes.
Yeah, I was very happy to have Landon back. Landon, one thing I want to say about Landon, I think Landon is such an incredible drag artist, but also like very mature, very wise, has been doing drag a long time, has done it in the smallest places, in the biggest places, and everything in between, and is still a working drag artist that just does weekly gigs and still flies out and does big gigs too. I feel like their expertise on the subject of drag is unparalleled.
He is an amazing performer, a total professional, and loves tequila. I'm like, you win.
Oh, yeah, you win. Exactly.
I think also he introduces filth into a lot of his looks. When we were saying earlier, to the competitors to bring filth. I remember his Hospital of Horrors look. Hi. Damn, horror, but also
she's drunk.
Filth. She's wasted.
Don't cut them out. Leave all these.
No, we are.
Leave
We're
all these
to.
False highs in.
Absolutely.
This is going to be the high counter, and I'm going to stop it at 3. God damn it. But his Hospital of Horrors look had a really intense infusion of filth, and I think that's partially what made it so scary. It just was ghoulish.
Such a great look still to this day.
And what a sniper in the judges' booth.
Like, oh, yeah.
Going in on the details in a way that I was like, wow, you should have a number. I was on a fucking derby team, and everybody has a number. I was like,
Princess Sugar Tits. Oh,
Princess Sugar Tits is coming for everybody's head tonight.
Well, that's the thing. Landon is about the details and always has been. And I think that's why, you know, partially he makes an excellent judge. I also think it's important. We have drag kings on the show. There should be drag king judges, right? Yeah, wouldn't it be weird if you... You
it's kind of perfect considering who wins this challenge, too. Like, I think what a moment for Throb, too, to have Landon on the judges panel and then to judge and to win. I mean, I'm sure that felt great.
I think so, too. Definitely. Yeah, so I was very excited to have Landon back. Landon's going to be on a couple episodes, actually. So our first reoccurring judge is Landon Sider.
Yeah.
Yay!
It's cool. All right, why don't we take a quick break, and then we'll come back and talk about the floor show. We will see you all in a few minutes.
We have returned and on to the floor show.
So we've obviously already judged the floor show and said everything we could possibly say about everyone's outfits. But Ian, what did you think about the floor show? Who stood out to you as great or not so great or whatever?
I really agree with the judgment for this episode, but I want to give a shout out to just how hardcore Neo's idea is. I think that it's appropriate that Neo didn't win the challenge because it lacked that sort of child aspect to it, but I remember seeing it in person being like, oh my God, this is, again, hardcore.
Yeah.
In a way that no one's ever really pushed the envelope that hard, and I just was very impressed by it.
I was too. And it had layers. That's the part.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's the part that impressed me the most.
Special effects and layers and performance aspects to it. But the truth is, it was not a garbage.
That is true.
Yeah, it just wasn't. Like, it wasn't. There was nothing that gave it that sort of silhouette or look or even hearken to a doll.
Yeah, but the look was so striking right from the start.
Yeah.
And then, like, the multiple vaginas, one being on a pregnant belly. Ooh. But then all the spiders, but then all the webbing. And then when the webbing was hung on the legs,
yeah.
I was like, this is showmanship. Like, this is theatrical drama, which I live for.
Oh, yeah, I agree.
Oh, and I'd like to talk about that for a minute, because back when we did Meet Our Monsters and the EW interviews came out, Neo was described as hardcore glam and inspired by fashion and entrepreneur, but also someone who didn't have a lot of performance experience. And that wasn't something that EW said. That was the way Neo described themselves. And I think somewhere in there, EW was getting blamed and fans were like, how could you? But the truth is, that was how Neo chose to describe herself at the beginning of the competition.
Another thing that didn't really play to her favor, and you saw it in the floor show, mm-hmm. was falling mm-hmm. and yeah. not being able to be in the shoes. You know, that obviously is an issue.
Yeah, 100%. I watched this floor show 1 million times before I went to the final edit because I'm obsessed with the song. Like, by the time it gets to like the breakdown where it's like all the crazy stuff at the end, it's just like banging so hard. It's yeah. like completely rocking out. And this is like one of my favorite floor shows of the season.
Oh, I'm going to second you on the soundscape because I really love when Blackberry comes out and it's like,
no, totally.
Me it's like too. Weird little like chimes and laughter. I was like, this is weird as fuck and I love it.
My honorable mention is Blackberry's look because I loved the kind of juxtaposition of like Blackberry, who's very polished and positive mm-hmm. and like presentable, but then this kind of like sourberry.
Yeah.
Like, overindulgent puking girl. Like, I thought it was really cute.
I really liked the way that she stained her outfit too.
Yeah.
It looked really real. It didn't just look like you slopped some paint on there or something. It looked really like aged and kind of horror. She did a great job.
It was cartoony and childish too, in the way that like Garbage Pail Kids are.
Absolutely. So. You could see that look on a card, but it also obviously screamed Blackberry. So it wasn't like a costume.
What I wanted to scream about was Anna Banana's outfit. Because that was wild.
That was wild. I think
Anna, we love you, by the way.
We love you. Well, look at what Anna did last episode. Anna could have been yeah. easily in the top.
Yeah,
last
a lot of fans thought she should have been,
which
too.
She should. I thought it was a great look. It's judging is the hardest part of this show.
Yeah,
and there is a difference between seeing it live
ooh,
and
yeah.
seeing it on camera. There is a big difference. Even if you're watching it on camera live, performers have a charisma to them and a magic to them. And you don't see it. You cannot feel it when you're watching it on TV. But when you're in the room like we are watching it through a camera and the monitors, but we're also watching it live. And if mm-hmm. someone has charisma and stage presence, you can feel that. Obviously, when we're looking for our next super monster, we want someone who has that stage charisma because we tour and we do all this
absolutely.
Stuff.
They need a magnetism. The best way to experience drag is live.
Yeah.
Like, it just doesn't do it any justice on TV. And when you're on stage and you can feel that presence, you can literally feel their energy. It's really powerful.
Yeah. I think ultimately that contributed to Anna scoring is because Anna was very animated and yeah. performed very well that day on stage. And in the performance had layers of things mm-hmm. to it. So you're like, what? I didn't know. You didn't know what she was going to do. There was like, first there was a banana, then there was chocolate, then the skin came off and it was just like a whole thing.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
I want to shift over to JK because something I realized kind of like putting this episode together, I was like, now wait a minute. Episode one, we had two marshmallow looks.
Yeah.
And JK was half of that. But episode two, we had two kind of like jacking off inspired looks. And you could say JK was also the second half of that. So it's kind of like a strange coincidence, I think.
JK's the concept stealer.
Ooh. No. I'm going to hone in on our two jerk off characters. Watching the close-ups of this, I do think it's interesting that we had two very different consistencies of the material that they were using.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, this is gross. I love filth.
I thought JK's look was interesting. The concept is really strong. It's
yeah.
cool. Like the whole idea of what he was doing was cool.
And this is why we saved JK, because conceptually his work is interesting.
Yeah.
Maybe the execution isn't all the way there, but that can come with time.
It can.
If you don't have good ideas, you can't emulate that stuff.
No.
You can't make that stuff up.
But if you're competing with people on the show who have good ideas and can execute them well,
yeah.
deadly.
Yeah. You're in trouble. So it'll be interesting to see how everyone grows and develops as the season goes.
And speaking of being able to experience something live as opposed to like on television, the one thing that was so special to experience live was hemorrhoid gotics stunts, because
it was
that
disgusting.
Was so nasty. And I was like giggling because
yay!
Matthew Lillard is like squirming like throughout
totally.
The whole thing. He's like, are those vaginas?
Is that shit?
Like, I'm like, what's happening with that person?
What's coming out of
this person?
What's coming out of his mouth? What is that? No, no.
Yeah,
it was amazing.
Awesome.
Yeah, Orgotic was great. That was like a disgusting. I did not want to look at it. I don't think I did look at the whole. You know,
the whole
thing. Let's talk about our people that didn't score as well, right? So mm-hmm. Onyx was on the bottom, and I felt like there was like an identity crisis happening.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There's an identity crisis happening. And again, this maybe is something you can't see watching it from a show. I'm not sure, but you definitely could filming because everyone showed up. Everyone was very solid in who they were, but I could not tell who Onyx was.
Well, I think that Onyx sort of backs that idea up in the cauldron when she says something to the effect of, oh, the judges were right. I'm a showgirl. I should have gone out there and done circus showgirl shit. And here I am as Derby Debbie. And I'm like, bingo.
Right.
That's exactly what
she said. Something else too. There was a moment where it was something to the effect of, I don't know. I have my gigs. I'm a working queen. I perform a lot, but I don't pan back and say, hey, what is an Onyx on Dix look? What is my aesthetic? What is what direction? Where do I come from? Basically, what part of the drag world? And I think coming into a competition really hones in on that. Yeah. And it also hones in on your execution, but your ideas and like going to Anna, you know, Anna's like an incredibly seasoned performer and we're fans, but like in a competition setting, a whole another element of like stress and severity kind of come into play, which can really mess with your head.
Yeah, I agree. And that's what I was sensing. There was like a lack of identity happening and a lack of confidence. And what I remember from who we cast was I have all these circus performance tricks, right? So I'm like, okay, well, I can't wait for this person to get here and start doing crazy stuff. But no crazy stuff happened, you know? And then this challenge, I felt like her look was so literal. It was just like lifted from a card with no Onyx on it. And I had just warned her the episode before. I was like, we want to see who you are.
Yeah.
So episode two, you wear something that is basically just like a costume from Garbage Pail Kids.
I think that's something to give her a little bit of shine on is that in terms of the classic cards, I mean, you could see Derby Debbie as a card, but I think
100%.
When you're looking at everyone else and there are all these different interpretations and sort of elevations or mutations of that idea, it almost seemed like the literal nature of the outfit was to her detriment.
Yeah, you have to bring it into Dracula world. You have to bring it into our world. Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, well, that was the thing. We're talking about Blackberry, right? Blackberry also looked like you could have been on a card, but also looked like Blackberry. And it was unmistakably Blackberry. And so I think that's what I was trying to get Onyx to do. And I think Onyx is probably a really talented drag artist that could have went very far on the show. But here's the thing. When you have all these people lined up, again, if not her, who?
Then who? Yeah,
totally.
And, you know, you could argue that maybe Anna's look deserved to be on the bottom with the mask malfunctioning, all that. But it was such a layered performance and it was so sold to the judges in a live space. That's what I think saved Anna.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about Cynthia for a minute, because I think Cynthia represented pretty well her place in the drag world, or her self-described place, which is, I'm like a fashion monster from Kansas City. Mm-hmm. And the first two looks really did come from a very fashionable kind of place. Like that mushroom queen that everybody loved, like the response to her
hummus
look
to
was
the
so, yeah, the hummus of the fungus queen. I mean, the shapes and the fingers and the hair was like very fashion-y, but these like exaggerated proportions on her, can I say crackhead? Was kind of
well. That's,
you know,
what
was
she
cool.
said.
Yeah,
yeah,
totally.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. I don't. I thought it was like. I mean, I said it on the show. I thought it was a little insensitive.
It's dicey. It is. It's definitely a. It's a hot button, hot spoon issue.
It's sort of like wearing a mental illness as a costume.
Ooh.
Which is a little weird.
I feel like you should be able to talk about everything and anything in art, but it is a delicate thing.
I think you can. And that's the thing. She chose to do it. She was allowed to do it. And now she has to deal with the conversations about it, right? Yeah. Whether it makes people feel uncomfortable or they think it's funny or whatever. You're going to get multiple responses, but you're going to get... There's a famous competitor from the show who I remember telling back in the day, you can say these things.
Yeah.
And you can do these things and I'm not going to stop you. But I just need you to understand what you're inviting into your life by tackling all these subjects and saying all these things on the show. Because the response that you think you're going to get is not what you think it is.
Yeah, that is very true. And I think that Cynthia really tried to push this, there's a personal narrative to this. And unfortunately, we've seen this time and time again, and it's not the last time we'll see it, probably 100 times over. When you try to put your own personal messaging into things, no one gets the pamphlet. No one gets the readout mm-hmm. of, oh, this is why this person did this look. They just see the look and then they make their judgments based on that. And honestly, for me, I like the look. It is fashion-y, but it's also when you look at everything else and you look at Throb, our winner, it's like, okay, where is the rest of it? Where's the rest of this outfit?
Yeah.
And it was Phil, you know, that's the thing. It was sort of a controversy, right? Like it was filth and it was sort of wrong. And that is a filth topic, but I don't know. It just didn't yeah. land with the judges.
And that's why Cynthia and Onyx had to eat worms.
Right.
And before when you do a
wrong outfit yeah, you take a risk, you have to eat worms.
Eat worms. But before we go there, I do want to talk about Throb's smashing success on this garbage.
Go for it.
Yeah. No, I feel like when I watched that performance, it was such a highlight of something that was already so cool. Like, I love this floor show. I love the soundscape. I loved everybody's inspiration. And I think it's so silly and like out of nowhere and weird and wrong. But when Throb came out and turned it into horror and kind of like in that super sugary sweet way of scooping out your own guts and then eating it, I'm yeah. like, this is so brilliant.
And it felt like a doll and childlike, mm-hmm. but also wrong, which that's what Garbage Pail Kids did.
That's the thing. When I think about Garbage Pail Kids, I always think about how they make me feel, and they make me feel gross. They make me feel uncomfortable because they're always happy about whatever yeah. horrible thing. Yeah, oh, my arm's going to cut off. Yay! And it's just like, ugh, and I feel like Throbs is, ugh.
Yeah, totally.
So good.
And it was very cartoony. I loved the almost, you know, 2D like nature of the colors
yeah.
that he chose and everything. It was just fantastic.
And filled with detail, literally from head to toe. Yeah. Everything down to the shoes, to the
stone,
utensils.
Did you stone their socks?
Exactly. It was like so good.
I want to say everybody, I think, performed very well in this challenge. Everyone looked great. Everyone performed very well. They should all be proud of their looks. I hope that they get the chance to perform these looks on stages oh, yeah. out in the wild. Because it's so
fun. Maybe for the tour, too. That's so fun.
Yeah. So let's move on to after they've learned yes. who won and didn't and all that. Throb reacted very interestingly to the yeah. win. I thought Throb would have came into the room and been like, I feel great, I win. Yeah. And I remember him shrinking behind a couch. And I was like, that's interesting. Like, why? That's not the reaction I was looking for. What yeah. did you all think of that?
I really wasn't sure what to make out of it, you know? And I feel like what I wished was that Throb could just celebrate in the moment, like feel happy and proud because they work really hard. They focus super hard. They did incredible. They won. So it should be a moment of celebration instead of feeling like when you're on the top, that's when people love to like gun for you. And now I feel vulnerable. You know, it's like, I think you can't rob yourself of the mm-hmm. celebration after you put the hard work in.
Yeah. I think about what Throb had said, and it is when you get to the top, then you have a target on your back. And I agree with you, Swan. I think that I wish that Throb was able to celebrate their win more that night because they fucking crushed it. It yeah. was awesome.
100%.
Totally. And even just, you know, for drag kings even, you know what I mean? To come on and sort of, I know that he felt that pressure that he was like representing, yeah. you know, drag kings and that sort of art form. And to win the second episode and do really well in the first one, I'm like, hi, this is great.
It's awesome.
Know?
As Landon is the judge, you know?
Yeah, with Landon as the judge.
It's like so perfect. And like, what a moment.
People will probably think, oh, well, Landon probably went easy on the drag kings. Oh, that is not true.
Landon went hard.
Yeah.
Not unfairly, but
no.
On everybody.
Laser focus on
yeah.
everyone.
Yeah. Everyone. Judged everyone exactly the same on a fair scale. So. Yeah.
And someone else who gets like laser focused judged by the entire cast is JK. And we see more of that in the college. Yeah.
So they're yeah. all,
I mean, he's literally defending his own self ascribed title as the most annoying person in Brooklyn, except he's become the most annoying person in the cauldron, because yeah. everyone is like, it's just static, 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 and he can't escape it. Mm-hmm. But one of my favorite moments is when Orgotic, and I'm gonna do my Orgotic, because he says it kind of quick, and he's like, I was kind of gagged that you weren't in the bottom. And JK's like, what did you say? And he's like, I was kind of gagged that you weren't in the bottom. I was like, yes!
Another favorite Orgotic moment is they're going back and forth, and he says something like, your hand is fucking goofy.
He goes, that arm is stupid as fuck.
Yes, that arm is stupid as fuck. I love the giant hand, but in the moment, I was like, bitch, get her wig.
Yeah. Again, a good idea, but like the execution, it could have been done a lot better.
I felt like I was missing something. I don't know if you all felt this, because sometimes this happens to me, but I'm like, what is the problem with him? Like, I don't see him doing things to get everyone so irritated. Am I missing something?
I feel like there is an element of JK plays ball in every sense. So, you know, we could just, you know, we could play fight a little bit, but JK is like, oh, you want to play fight? Cool. I'll take the gloves off and now we'll get the claws out. And he's just always ready to do it. And so it just sort of almost intrinsically makes him a fighter.
But who does he say anything to? I don't remember him just coming for people randomly at this point, right?
No, but I think he always has something to say. He's always got a comment.
Yeah, I think he called Cynthia like a loud mouth and a big mouth. I mean, when you have opinions like that and you decide to share them, you're going to open yourself up to like criticisms and counterattacks. And that's what happens.
Which I live for. I'm like, I love that JK does that. I'm like, thank you for fucking saying something.
We've said it 1,000 times, and this goes to anybody else who ever auditions for future seasons of the Blair Brothers Dracula. Like, there's a bunch of different ways you can show up to work, and doing the drag and performing in the floor shows is absolutely a way to show up for work. But when you're in the cauldron, everything counts. And when we say that 1,000 times during production, everything counts. So when you're in the cauldron, we want to see your personality. Like, you need to show up to work on those days too. And it's the people that try to self-produce and kind of protect their image. It never works. They just don't, people don't see who they are.
Yeah. You look like you're faking it and then everyone turns on you. But I don't know. For me as a person, I felt like I did the same thing with Zava. Like, when we were there, I didn't get what the problem with Zava was. Cause I feel like I like to be around someone like that. Cause they tell you how they feel, and it's not a game or a mystery or they're playing games with you. They're just like, you pissed me off. Okay, cool. Sorry. Or actually, I'm not sorry. I did it on purpose. Fuck you too. And then you move on. Yeah. You know,
I think Zava says something in season 4, or maybe it's after the season, but I think that's almost like a New York kind of mentality. Mm-hmm. It's very direct and it's very just, it's not personal. It's just, we're just talking.
Yeah. But God, I live for that too.
It's so much easier to get along with.
If everybody could operate on that level, it'd be so much better.
Yeah. And then like, no one's out to kill anybody or slit each other's throat. You run into each other. Okay, move on. That's it.
Well, unless it's the Ghost Ship Glamour challenge. Oh, look, I can do that too. Oh, we're best friends. We're best friends.
Oh God, what an epic moment.
Yeah. So, okay, so JK is stirring up some energy, but now we're moving on to the worms.
Yes, and much like the trash juice smoothie, the pieces that you can't perceive, because they look nasty and everybody can see that, but
there was
you can hear them and you can smell
the smell.
It's so
gnarly. I didn't expect the smell. Yeah. I wasn't, you know, again, we're more involved now than ever, so we're... Especially me for the exterminations. I'm right there.
Mm-hmm. You're all up in it, mama.
I like to play with... I like that stuff. I love it. I didn't mind it at all. In fact, I think I freaked the camera out because she's... Were you there when I...
What'd you do?
I went down to like eat... Like, I stuck my tongue out like I was licking the worms. They were like, I didn't care. I mean,
our set is fun. Set is really fun.
It is fun. So they did the worms, and unfortunately... Cynthia had a bigger mouth than Onyx, which I think we all
JK
knew,
right? JK was
right. JK, literally and figuratively, big mouth.
I can attest, as I was there watching it, that Cynthia was scooping those things up like a pelican.
Hoovering, mama.
She was sucking them up. I was like, how are you doing that?
And she'd eat more maggots if she had to.
She was doing this thing where she like turned her head to the side to create like... a scoop, like an ice cream scoop with her mouth. And
she went from Throb.
Yeah.
The problem with Onyx was getting them in, but dropping them out between the tables. You know?
Uh-huh. Gotta hold on to your worms.
You do. I just think about the sound that Onyx was making. She would pick them up and she'd go, bleh! She would just kind of spit them into the thing. And I was like, oh, poor thing.
Oh,
she really did try, though. I mean, it was a close.
I think it's the most dangerous on the show in the beginning, because you can be great and go home. You can be great and you could go home because it's so tight, you know?
Yeah.
Any little thing. So I hate, of course, just like I hated last episode, I hate that Onyx went home. I would have loved to see more of Onyx, but that's the nature of the competition, right?
Yeah.
But Onyx got an amazing death scene.
Amazing. Yes.
And I want to go back to our opener, because we had some foreshadowing there, because you saw these incredible dolls, which you now know are kind of replicas of the top three looks of the challenge.
Yeah.
And we met a friend at a horror convention in LA. His name is Eric, and he runs Zuzu Dolls, and they do all of these like custom Chucky dolls, and he's just obsessed with everything Killer Doll and Chucky. So when I knew when this challenge came around, I'm like, we need to talk to him and see if he can do this. And they did an incredible job in like the smallest amount of time. And then they became our murderers that night because we pulled an Abe Due Dumbala and like sent out our killer doll minions.
That was really cute. Very fun to shoot. That was a fun day. And Onyx was great. Fun to be around, acted great, was appreciative.
Yeah.
I would love to see more of Onyx in the future because I feel like they do have all these cool skills that people just don't know about.
Yep.
All right. Well, that's it for this episode's postmortem. We will be back next week. Yes, we are weekly now for the time being.
We're doing it. We're doing it, gals.
We will be back for episode 3. But in the meantime, make sure you send us your questions if you want us to answer to creatures@BouletBrothersDragula.com. If there's anything you want to know about episode 2 or episode 1 that we didn't talk about, we will do our best to answer them on air.
Until next time.
The Boulet Brothers Creatures of the Night is hosted and produced by Drachmorta and Swanthula Boulet, along with co-host Ian DeVogler, with music by Neuron Spectre.